Pittsburgh Ballet Theater. Swan Lake Synopsis. Act 1. In the late afternoon, a meadow near the castle. Prince Siegfried is celebrating his 21st birthday. His friend Benno and his tutor Wolfgang have invited guests from the surrounding estates to join in the celebration. The party is interrupted by the arrival of the Queen Mother, who presents her son with a crossbow and reminds him that it will be his duty at his coming of age to choose a bride from 6 eligible princesses. The queen departs and the festivities continue until Benno sights a flight of swans. Inspired by his new crossbow, the prince calls Benno to organize a hunting party, and the young men leave in search of the swans. Act 2. Some hours later, after sunset, by the lake. As Prince Siegfried enters the forest, he suddenly sees a magnificent swan in flight. He carefully takes aim, but to his astonishment, the bird transforms into a most beautiful maiden. At first, the maiden is frightened by Siegfried, but he assures her he will do no harm and asks her to explain the marvel he has just seen. She tells him she is the Princess Odette, of high birth who fell under the spell of an evil sorcerer, and now her fate is to be a swan. Only in the hours of darkness may she assume her human guise. Indeed, this very lake is filled with her mother's tears. She tells him she is condemned for eternity, and only if a young man, true of heart, swears eternal love to her and marries her, will the spell be broken. But, if he should betray her, she will remain a swan forever. Siegfried realizes his destiny has changed and swears his love and faithfulness to Odette. At that moment, the sorcerer appears. The prince, in his passion, reaches for his crossbow, but Odette pleads with him not to shoot, for she knows if the sorcerer is killed before the spell is broken, she too will die. Dawn approaches, the sorcerer disappears, and Odette is compelled by the spell to return to her guise as a swan. Intermission. Act 3. The next night, the Great Palace Hall. Guests assemble for the birthday ball, including 6 princesses from different countries, whom the Queen Mother has chosen as eligible maidens for her son's hand. Prince Siegfried dances with each beautiful young princess and is urged by his mother to make a decision, but he is haunted by the memory of Odette and refuses to choose a bride. Suddenly, a fanfare announces the arrival of Baron von Rothbart with his daughter Odile. Siegfried is thrilled to see the young maiden, who is the image of his beloved Odette. He is dazzled by her beauty and vibrance and deceived into declaring his love and fidelity to Odile. As Prince Siegfried swears his love, a fleeting vision of the real Odette appears, and von Rothbart, with Odile, triumphantly reveal their wicked ruse. Siegfried realizes he is victim of an evil plot and exits the Great Hall in search of Odette. Act 4. Later that night, by the lakeside. The swan maidens are anxiously waiting the return of Odette. She appears and tells of von Rothbart's treachery. Before dawn, she intends to die. A great storm rages. Siegfried, bursting into the glade, discovers the tearful Odette and begs her forgiveness. As dawn approaches, von Rothbart appears again in his disguise as a sorcerer. Odette tells Siegfried she must kill herself or forever be a swan. Siegfried, knowing his heart belongs only to Odette, declares he will die with her, thus breaking the power of Rothbart. The lovers throw themselves into the lake. Rothbart is mortally struck and his power is ended. Apotheosis. The lovers are untied in life after death. Swan Lake Program Notes. One of the world's most beloved ballets, Swan Lake is a staple of the repertoires of most major ballet companies. Its popularity seems indestructible, for it has the overwhelming and universal appeal of a tragic tale of young lovers trapped by outside forces. The plot is based on the ancient myth of the Swan Maiden, a theme that appears in slightly different forms in the literature of almost all countries, including India, Persia, and Arabia, where it forms the basis of one of the tales in The Thousand and One Nights. European countries also have swan legends. Swan Lake probably grew out of Russian or German folk stories. The first production of Swan Lake, staged by Ulius Reisinger at the Bolshoi Theater in Moscow in 1877, had limited success. The choreography was seen as uninspired, and while some critics praised the complex beauty of Tchaikovsky's score, others found the music monotonous, beyond their comprehension, and interesting only to other musicians. In 1895, 2 years after the composer's death, the great Mariinsky Theater ballet director and choreographer, Marius Petipa, created a new version of the ballet, giving the iconic swan scenes in Acts 2 and 4 to his assistant, Lev Ivanov, and working with Tchaikovsky's brother, Modest, and Mariinsky Theater conductor Ricardo Drigo, Petipa's Swan Lake achieved a perfect blend of brilliant choreographic composition, dazzling virtuosity, and expressive intensity. More than any other classical ballet, Swan Lake demands from the ballerina special physical qualities. The Petipa Ivanov production featured Italian ballerina Pierina Lignani, whose perfect interpretation of the dual role of Odette Odile, the white and black swans, was a major factor in the ballet's triumph. Lignani's performance marked the first time a ballerina had tackled both roles. It is now customary for one ballerina to dance both Odette and Odile in productions by major ballet companies. This dual role is a supreme test of the dancer's ability to create character. From the dramatic point standpoint, it requires the ballerina to represent both the tremulous reserve and ecstatic surrender of the Swan Maiden and the provocative and magnetic fascination of Odette's evil double, Odile. One is an enchanter, the other an enchantress. On the choreographic level, this duality is matched by the romantic style of the two white or swan scenes created by Ivanov and the glittering virtuosity and skill demanded by Petipa's classical choreography in the third act. Ivanov breathes life into the swans in the rippling movements of the arms, expressively arched torsos, and the trembling beats of pointed feet. In Odette, he creates a creature who is at once fluttering and passionate, both swan and woman. Petipa's brilliant characterization of Odile culminates in 32 fouettés, a turn in which one leg extends and whips around while the other rises on point, at the end of the grand pas de deux. This is an extremely difficult feat and is considered a bravura sequence for the ballerina, emphasizing her strength, stamina, and technique. A legacy from both Petipa and Lignani, a 32 fouetté sequence is standard now for the ballerina in the coda of many classical pas de deux. Tchaikovsky was careful to show the difference between good and evil in the source for this ballet, using flat keys to represent the forces of evil and sharp ones for the pure world of the white swan. It's unfortunate that Tchaikovsky didn't live to see the ballet's great success. In 1877, he'd hoped to create a score that would be as respected as his symphonic works, but only after his death was Swan Lake given the recognition it deserved. While Tchaikovsky later composed music for two other great ballets, The Nutcracker and The Sleeping Beauty, Swan Lake is still considered by many to be his masterpiece.